And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine, heard every Thursday here in the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network from 2 to 4. And that was just a great interview with those two fine gentlemen.
Yes, we're having a great day talking all about the Phoenix Film Festival through next Thursday.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. And we are really honored right now to have the director and producer and actress of Putzel. And in studio, we have actress Allegra Cohen. And you're the producer, too.
That's right.
Wow, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Your day is just getting better and better.
It's getting better each time. Yeah. I can't believe it. And on the line, joining us, of course, is director Jason Chagat. I said that correct. Are you proud of me, Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah. We're very
He's
proud
shocked,
of you.
How about you, Jason? Are you proud
hey,
of me?
Jason. Jason, where are we?
To be with you.
Oh, there you are. Hey, welcome.
I'm sorry. I'm in a noisy, balmy JFK right now.
Oh.
He's on his way here.
Oh, are you? Okay, very cool. Welcome to the show. We're really excited to have both you and Allegra on the Breakthrough Thinking Magazine and Putzel. Big night for you starting, tonight, going through the 11th. But when does... Joseph, when does this movie start to play?
Let's give the screening times for this. This is 1:20 p.m. on Friday, so tomorrow, April 5th, 5:40 p.m. on Saturday, April 6th, and 2:05 p.m. Sunday, April 7th.
Go ahead.
And it's a great film. Again, one of my four favorite films from this year's festival.
Thanks, Joseph.
It's very funny, heartwarming.
Wait, can you say that one more time? What did you say?
Very funny?
No, one of the four favorite films.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I could be your promoter now. I picked that one up.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's right.
And
good work,
Alex. Anytime, Jay, anytime.
It's definitely deserving of that praise, and hopefully you guys will be acknowledged by both the judges and the audiences. And so tell us, either one of you or both, a little bit about the film in your own words. What can pitch it to audiences?
Sure. Putzel is about the writer Rick Moore and myself, and Rick is actually going to the Cleveland Film Festival this weekend. We're sort of having Putzelpalooza all weekend because we're in Cleveland, Phoenix, and Florida film festivals all within 5 days of each other. So we're sort of spreading out throughout the country to hit as many of them as possible. Rick wanted to be there, but we can't. But Rick and I came up with this story about, we wanted to write a story about a guy who was afraid to leave the small town that he grew up in, but we wanted it to have a different hook. And so we came up with this hook of it, the small town being where we live, which is the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which a lot of people don't, outside of Manhattan, don't think of it as a small town, obviously, with New York being the city that it is. But it really has a small town feel and a small town vibe. And that's the basic hook. And the movie begins and ends with him trying to leave the Upper West Side. And in between, there's a lot of turmoil and funny. I agree with you. I think it's funny. And I still laugh after seeing it thousands of times. And it is heartwarming. And I think it's got a nice message. And it's a very sweet movie, charming movie. Allegra, you want to add anything?
Yeah, and we just think that it can be any small town. Anyone can sort of relate to staying in their comfort zone, and this movie really makes you see how important it is to that we can all help each other to risk who we are for what we can become and step out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, and I really go ahead, Jason.
No, you go ahead, jump in.
I really like the way that this film ends, and I don't want to spoil it for people, but it is a very motivational kind of message. And
great.
We really like the meanings of movies and motion pictures on Breakthrough Thinking. Tell us a little bit about the message here. And Allegra, you kind of hinted at it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of risk, and that every character in this film is tied to that theme of risk. We can just overcome our worst fears by getting out of that situation that we have never known how to escape before.
Excellent.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an idea of risking who you are for what you could become. That was sort of our operative quote from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of themes about family, about generations. It's a culturally Jewish movie, but I think it's really universal in how it talks about family and the sort of boxes that we put ourselves in and the boxes that we allow our family to put ourselves in. And for us from the beginning and throughout production and in post-production and really finding the overall tone of the movie, that was what we were always operating from. So, you know, I agree.
Well, let me ask you this, Jason. You're the director, the screenwriter, Rick Moore, that like you described said earlier. How do you interact with the screenwriter? Are you there daily, or does he do something and you look at it and you change it, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's more the latter. We came up with the idea together, and then he would go off and write. You know, I think we did some outlining together, and he would go write a bunch, and then that would change the outline, and we just keep developing and developing. I mean, we're lucky that we hit it off a number of years ago. And have a very similar mindset. We knew that we wanted to do movies that felt a little more classic in scope. And I hope that comes across in the movie. Even though it's a very contemporary movie, it feels a little bit more like a movie from the middle of the 20th century. We knew we wanted a lot of characters. We knew we wanted it to be story-driven, even though the characters are really rich. So we just got lucky in finding each other creatively. And we didn't really have a lot of problems. You know, I think the deal was with the script, he got to win, and with the cut of the movie, I got to win. So anytime there were any disagreements, and there were very few, to be honest.
So does that make your job as a director much easier when you're involved with the screenwriter on a, you know, whether it's a daily basis, but before it's developed, so you can visualize how you want certain scenes to be before the scenes even started?
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Spot on. And, I used to kid people, but a lot of the movie was directed on the page before we even started shooting or going into pre-production, because we had developed the script so much, and especially visually, there are sequences, even though it's a dialogue-driven movie, there are sequences in the movie, like there's a scene on the subway, which you probably remember, that's very visually driven, and that was almost just sort of like storyboarded with words. So it was really helpful from the beginning. And, you know, not that old, but I sort of grew up professionally directing theater and working a lot with playwrights and developing new work. So it was a very familiar process for me, being able to work with him from the beginning and really understand what's going on from underneath the words and the images. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well,
it does.
And, you know, and speaking of the images, and I really like how you kind of mapped out the town here, and you have I called it a theme song in my review. I think it's technically a score, but it reminds me of the theme song because it is so quirky. It's you know. Could you tell me the importance of making it, you know, kind of like have that little quirky vibe and almost feel like a sitcom, but in a very good way?
Oh, the music is a very good story, mm-hmm. and Jason, he has a good story behind that. Mm-hmm.
Wait, behind the music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we played with the music in a lot of different ways. We had Rob Niederfrom and Jonathan Benedict, who are two Brooklyn composers and musicians and music producers, and... we worked a lot. I mean, we spent a lot of time trying different things and trying to get a feel for it. And that theme that plays and recurs in the movie, which I think is the thing you were talking about that plays over the credit sequence,
mm-hmm. yes,
is actually a piece of music that came in at the very last minute. And I really liked it, and we were going to use it throughout the movie. And then I played it for my wife. And my wife, I think my wife and hopefully my daughter are listening. Hi, Tessa.
That's why we said it is like a sitcom.
She's almost six. My wife said, you know, I won't say it on the air, but she said, you are gigantic, beep, if you don't use that for the credit. And she was right. She was spot on. And we slipped it in, and we finished the movie. And we premiered the movie at Woodstock Film Festival in October. And I think we finished the movie a week before the screening. It was really, really tight. And we popped it in and mixed the movie, and we got it to Woodstock. And, you know, the rest is not history because it's still happening.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm reading this write-up, and it says, it will forever change how you look at whitefish and lox, and I love lox. Am I risking something here?
No, you gotta take a risk. That's the theme.
Well, that's the whole thing.
You gotta take a risk. I think it's, you know, the whitefish lox. Well, Joseph, you saw the movie, right?
Yes.
Obviously. So it's a very farcical... all I'll say is I think that moment is thematic, because it's a very controversial moment in Talkback. That moment is thematically sound. It's in line with what all the other characters are grappling with. It's ridiculous. And I wanted to have this really farcical sequence where all these elements crash together, and Rick came up with this extreme incident that briefly brings everybody into the same place in the same moment.
When you say that it's that character that you might be referencing is based on a real guy?
the character that we're referencing is based on a real guy that Rick, the screenwriter, knew.
I like her. Let me ask you this. I haven't seen the movie, but I want to bring Locke and Bagel with me. I don't know what that means, but
you're just
going to
be very
out.
Open-minded when you see.
Yes. But you're just beaming, and it looks like you had so much fun making this movie. Talk about that.
We had an absolute blast. I thought when I was going to, I actually came into the project as an actor at one of the first table reads. Jason had an actress that bailed on him for a reading, and Fred Berman, who plays the role of Tunch, he suggested that I come in and take a shot at this role that they needed. So I came in and I read a bunch of different roles, and Jason and Rick knew that I was also a producer, and so we ended up meeting at Whole Foods on 59th Street and Columbus Circle, where we open and close the movie. And we just had such a good vibe and really understood what we wanted to do with taking this movie and making it happen. And so really I just had so much fun. I did a lot of different things. I think in independent movies you really have to just be open to wearing it. All sorts of hats. So I got to run around the Upper West Side trying to negotiate different locations and being on set if we had a situation happen where we needed to have a replacement a locks double, like, hand cutter, like the guy who was slicing the lock song in the movie. We needed to get someone who actually had some expertise in slicing locks. So, you know, just run around and find someone that has that expertise. Oh. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, I wish that Jack Carpenter was able to come to the festival because he great performance in this film. Kind of reminded me of Justin Long a little bit.
So definitely.
Where did you find him?
It's funny because Jack is great and I think should be and will be a star soon.
I agree.
And he actually came in very, like, funnily enough, about a week before shooting, because we had another actor in the role, and we just couldn't work out the schedule because he was on a TV show, and at the last minute, they were like, he can't do it. And the casting director came to me and said, came to Rick and myself and said, we have this guy, I think he's perfect, and we had breakfast, and we offered him the role at the table, and he jumped in, and we rehearsed a bunch, and he started, and he's great. He, you know... with like a week of preparation, he did an amazing job.
Oh yeah, he does. He is great, but everyone in this film is great as well. Melanie Lynskey, she's
fantastic.
Yeah, she was in a TV show with Emma Stone at one time, right? Wasn't she?
Am I thinking? She was with on.
She's actually on Two and a Half Men.
That's known for Two and a Half Men because she played she plays Rose, who's like Charlie, who was Charlie Sheen's stalker girlfriend.
Wasn't she also in a show? Wasn't it Drive or something like that? A very short-lived Fox series. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. She works a lot. She's very big in the indie film world, and she's doing. She's a wonderful actress, and got her start with Kate Winslet in Heavenly Creatures when they were both, I think, 14 or 15 years old in New Zealand. And she's just worked nonstop since then. And in the past couple of years, it's starting to move into some, you know, leading roles, and she did. I mean, she's great in our movie. She did a great movie last year called Hello, I Must Be Going, which she got some indie spirit, like a Gotham nomination for. She's a great actress, and she's doing really, really well.
And she's also lovely and so down to earth
to work with. Yeah, the whole cast was great. Even though it was a little movie, nobody acted like it was a little movie, and everybody was on. You know, really loved the movie and committed to the process and willing to do anything and. You know, no matter how bad the holding areas were, they were great.
Oh, don't diss the holding area.
Well, it's not a movie with trailers.
Allegra, your performance in the film is great as well, but you know it's so different because your character in the film is so much different than you are here in the studio.
Oh my God, I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Where's the inspiration come from for that particular character?
I just really thought about who this chick is, and she, I think that unfortunately she wanted to marry a guy who had a lot of money and had this great store, and it could be something that she could inherit someday. And instead of really caring about who he was as a person and someone that she really loved, and I think sort of at the end you can see that she saw what true love might look like to her and what that might inspire her to hopefully have one day.
Yeah.
So I think that you could sort of see that arc in her. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but completely different people, you know. So when you've seen this film, that's not Allegra. It
no,
is, but it
isn't. It's definitely not Allegra.
Well, let me ask you. You know, I'm fascinated and really admire actors, actresses, directors, producers, everyone behind the scenes in the movie industry, because it seems it takes so much talent. I envy that. It's incredible. But Allegra, how do you develop a character? Does Jason, as a director, does he help you? Do you just have a vivid imagination, or is it the storyline that sort of creates the boundaries, or do you ever go outside the boundaries?
Well, Jason absolutely helped me in my preparation for the role. I think when you're an actor and you're delving through the script, you also see what all the other characters say about you, and that can also help you in finding those interesting ways of you know, making unique choices. And I absolutely came up with a whole bio of who I am as well. And there's a whole backstory there and a whole future story there. So I think that really helps to really just go through the script. And I met with Jason and talked with him about his thoughts. And Rick, too, gave me some really good insight. And then when you're on set and you're working and you're playing off of these really, really talented actors, it just brings even something more that you didn't expect would come out of you.
Jason, it sounds like it's a team approach, almost in athletics. Is everyone on the same page? And how important is having some type of harmonious situation there on the set versus friction?
No, it's definitely important. I mean, you can make a good movie and produce a good play or musical when there is friction, and there's always little bits of friction no matter what. But it's, you know, I sort of grew up and was trained in the school of thought that directing is more about environment than just always telling people what to do. So I try and create a particular kind of environment and give everybody the information they need to do their jobs and let them do their jobs and sort of manage them. It's akin to, you know, I think your analogy is good. It's akin to coaching football team, or, you know, managing a baseball team, where you need to let everybody do their job, put them in the right position, you hire the right people, and you talk to them when you need to, and you leave them alone when they want to be left alone. And my experience, you know, everybody comes at filmmaking from a different, you know, has a different journey to being a filmmaker, I think, in particular. Some people are cinematographers, some people are special effects people. I came at it from theater and from acting, and I teach acting in New York. So I'm more of like what you would call an actor's director. And I know that actors all need to be treated differently. Some of them, you know, I jokingly refer to it as the hug and punch system, where some actors need a hug and some actors need to be punched and some actors need both. And it's just about reading them and giving them what they need on a daily basis.
Jason, did you have to punch any of the actors?
I did. It's not a literal punch.
I think I accepted both ways, you know. I was open.
You know, after I learned early on in rehearsal, when you're shooting, after every take, no matter how it went, say great. So I always thought by saying great, and then we worked from there. But on this shoot, it was, everybody was fantastic. We had very few moments. We had moments where we disagreed, and you do one take the way they want to do it and two or three takes the way I want it, and then we have options. And that's a lot of what filmmaking is you're getting options. You know, you have a good idea what you want, but you're really going to find the movie in the edit room, and it's about getting some options so that, cause, you know, in a movie like this, you can't afford to reshoot. You can't go back. So that's really the problem. And I was lucky because we had some amazing actors.
Now, here's kind of a little random tidbit, going back to what we were talking about earlier regarding actress Melanie Olinsky, is on American Idol. My fiance is obsessed with the show, and one of the finalists, I think her name's Cree, looked like an actress, and she's been asking me for a month, what actress is it? I'm like, I'm not sure. Well, now I look at Melanie and I recognize her and go, that is the Cree lookalike. So now I could let her know.
Wow.
Right.
Interesting little tidbit.
I think she's been getting a lot of tweets about that she looks like someone on American Idol, I know. So, and my wife actually mentioned it too. It's funny. I don't watch the show, but my wife does, and she mentioned it as well.
Yeah, well, this has been just fascinating, and we really appreciate both of you. We want to mention the screenings again, 1:20 p.m. Friday. That's tomorrow. Let's see. Yeah, that's April 5th. 5:40 p.m. Saturday night, April 6th. Oh, my older brother's birthday. Okay. he's in San Diego, though. 2:05 p.m. Sunday, April 7th. We encourage everyone to get out there. Joseph, you've seen it. I haven't. Any parting words?
No, just that it's a lot of fun. If you want to go to the film festival and have a lot of fun and learn a lot about, again, Whitefish and Locks, this is definitely the one you want to check out. Putzel, one of the four best films from the Phoenix Film Festival, Putzel.
Thanks. Thanks, Joseph. We really appreciate it. I look forward to meeting you this weekend.
Well, thank you so much, director Jason Chayet and producer actress Allegra Cohen in Putzel.
Thank you so much for having
us. Oh, you're more than welcome, and we'd be honored to have you on again as your career continues.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Allegra. And then we'll take a quick break. We have some more stars coming in right at 3:30, and this is Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, the magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4. We'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.